103.7 to beat your boy Big Rob, the fat guy at the station. Hey, y'all, I'm still down here at Cannabash and RBL Posse, you know, just did their thing. I want to say hi and welcome to the show, RBL Posse.
Yes, sir, Black C in the building.
And who we got over here?
Folks in the building.
Folks? Yeah. All right, then. Listen, where y'all been?
Working, steady grinding. You know, a lot of people feel like we've been off the scene since 92, 94, or should I say, ever since our second album, our second classic album. But we've been working. We just ain't, you know, it done got a little cluttered since the digital age, and people ain't really been hearing what we've been dropping since the 90s. But we've been working. We've been active.
What have you guys been doing? I mean, because I know... I remember y'all, you know what I'm saying? Not that I grew up on y'all, but I loved y'all music.
Right.
You know, I'm probably a lot older than y'all, you know, but, you know, I grew, you know, had that opportunity to enjoy RBL Posse.
Right.
And to enjoy some of the things. But for these young folks who don't know RBL Posse, can you explain who RBL Posse is?
Yeah, RBL Posse formed, well, I formed the group back in 91 with me and Mr. C. We put out the first album, A Lesson to Be Learned, in 1992, which had the hits on it, Mammer Weed, and it also had G's by the 123s that featured Totally Insane. So that's what we was known for, Don't Give Me No Mammer Weed. And the second album, Ruthless by Law, which had Bounce to This and one of our main hits, Bluebird. Yeah.
All right. Now, they can still find these songs and stuff on YouTube or... some of the others.
All the DSPs is available everywhere. Any type of digital service provider, from Amazon Music, Tidal, iTunes, you know, Apple Music, whatever, is everywhere. You know what I mean? And like you said, we've been around. We've been active. We dropped. I think the last RBL Posse album actually came out in 2001. You know what I mean? So, and that was called Hostile Takeover, and since then, I've been putting out solo albums, you know, and been dropping pretty much every 3 to 4 years, you know, consistently, and as Black C. So we've been working. We've doing a lot of licensing deals, you know, with skateboard companies, movies, you know, a lot of, like, I would say companies like snowboarding type companies and stuff like that really deal with us. You know what I mean? They like to license our music for DVDs or what have you. And also moving a lot of merchandise. I put out a book recently called From the Block to the Black Sea, a part of survival from the block to the booth. Did real good. We done already pushed through like over 1,000 copies. So we've been moving, man. We've been moving.
You wrote a book.
Yeah, wrote a book.
So somebody listening to your music, they just think you this thug in the streets.
Right, right.
But you actually sat down and wrote a book.
Wrote a book. Yeah, you know, my group, we went through a lot of trials and tribulations, ups and downs. And, you know, I lost both of my members of the group. We lost Mr. C, rest in peace, you know, back in 96, right before we was going to do our major deal. So, and then we lost our other group member, who, you know, Hitman, who came in and kind of, I wouldn't say take his place, but he kind of filled the void, filled the shoes. He came in and was a part of the group, and he lost his life, you know what I mean? So, I still been keeping the torch lit, so we've been, you know, I just felt like I had a story that people needed to hear, you know what I mean? Just about the whole bounce back, you know what I mean, and keeping the torch lit for my guys.
Where can they get this book at?
It's available on my website, www.rblposse.com, or they can get it on Amazon Books, you know, it's available both. But I say if you want to get it directly from me, when I hit it up with that autograph, I say go to rblposse.com and click the store link. Yeah.
Okay, so you just saying, depending on just the music, you're doing other ventures,
yeah,
such as I see you guys with your merch on,
merch,
your shirts,
right.
You got a nice hat on. I think you got a nice RBL hat on. Mm-hmm. They can get all of this at RBLPosse.com.
Right, right. Yeah, they can go to like I said, www.rblposse.com, click the store link, or if you want to go directly to the store, you can go to www.rblposse.bigcartel.com, and you'll see everything we got on there. The book, CDs, vintage classic CDs, vinyl, You know, we've been doing a lot. You know, like I said, we just released vinyl. It's our 30th anniversary. Well, last year was our 30th anniversary in September. So we released a couple of color vinyls that we put out that was numbered, you know what I mean, straight up for the collectors. And, yeah, man, we working. There's a lot of stuff in the works. And I got two albums sitting right now ready to go. You know what I mean?
Because, you know, growing up in that era, man, you know, y'all did great music. Not to say, because I haven't heard none of your new stuff, but I'm sure it's great. Mm-hmm. But at the same token and stuff like that, you know, people like me, that's my age, that remember No More Bamboo Weed, because I was smoking a lot of weed back then. Right. You know, now I don't, but, right. You know, I remember that, you know. Right. Hey, don't give me that Bama weed. You started a whole thing. Y'all started a whole thing across the world. I don't know if y'all know that or not. Right. Did you know that when y'all was writing the song?
Nah, we was actually just clowning when we did that song. You know what I mean? Because Bama was just something we just called bunk weed, boo-boo. You know, we just called it Bama. You know what I mean? In my neighborhood. And I was just joking with it. And we just had fun with it, and it took off. But I knew the beat was a slapper, because when I made the beat, you know, I've had produced, you know, the earlier album. So when I made the beat, I knew it just had a weed feel to it. You know what I mean? That I got that Marvin Gaye After the Dance, and I jacked the Live in London one. You know what I mean? So he was playing the live, and that flute, as soon as I heard that flute, it was just like one of them things where it just captured me. I was just like, oh, this is a hit right here. And I just started just playing around with it, and that chant came out, "Don't give me no Bama weed, we don't smoke that in the SFs." It actually started off as, "Don't give me no Bama joint, we don't smoke that in Hunters Point." So it was like a local thing for my neighborhood. And then later on, after talking to a few guys, you know, my boy, shout out Lonnie Green, he was like, "Man, you know, you got to involve the whole city. You need to get Philmo, you know, Sunnydale, get everybody involved." And then, you know, light bulb went up, like, you know what, let me switch it to, "Don't give me no Bama weed, we don't smoke that in the SFC." And thank God I did that, because the whole city got behind it.
And, you know, it's a anthem for events like this.
Right.
Cannabash,
right,
and stuff, right, like that.
Right.
Just like the Loonies, "I Got Five on It."
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Those are weed songs that, you know. That ain't never. When God says it's time for you to come home, that's going to be still.
Right.
I don't want no Bama weed.
Yeah, the kids gonna be getting that them residuals off that, you know, and that's for sure. And every 420, I notice, you know, it definitely jump up. You know, it's like it get rejuvenated. You know, them streams go up, and that check get a little bit more chunky around April. You know, from April to August it get good, and it, you know, it might slump around October, going through the winter a little bit. But if for the past 30 years, it's been paying bills, man, thank God. You know, I've been blessed to have put together a hit like that and be a part of a group that's considered legendary, you know what I mean?
And 30 years later, still getting paid.
30 years later, still getting paid, still doing shows like this, still looking good, feeling good, you know. Blessed, man, blessed.
Yeah, that's what some of the women was like, "Hey, can you get me backstage? I want to holler at him."
Right.
What you mean you want to holler at him? You got some money? Because he look like money. I mean, you ain't got no. I'm quite sure he didn't have what you got between your legs. So, you know, he probably looking for a little money if you ain't got no change.
Hey, man, that song, the cannabis industry, been keeping me afloat for years. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention, too, shout out Sunset Connect. We did a joint venture with them. You know, we got some pre-rolls called Ruthless by Law, which is our name. You know, that's what the RBO acronym stands for, Ruthless by Law. And shout out Buddy Indoor Natural. You know, we did a collab with them with some Ruthless Runts and some Ruthless GMO, some of that garlic, mushroom, onion, you know.
It's amazing how you said 30 years ago, right? Y'all still making money off of a song. Not only that, now because back when I was growing up, we had to sneak, you know. And I know y'all don't remember that, you know what I'm saying? Y'all don't remember that, you know. I remember it, you know. Weed was illegal.
It was legal when we put out the song. Even they tried to censor it. We couldn't even spell endo like I-N-D-O. In the video, we got an E-N-D-O. And it's a lot of stuff blurred that was blurred out. The video never really got played until probably like 96, 97. It started getting traction once, like, really, I wouldn't even say, I'd say in the 2000s, once YouTube started happening, and it got uploaded there.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. You know, you guys, you know, so when they talk about older artists and being timeless, you know, you got this new generation where stuff is a second. Mm-hmm. It's a blurb. I don't know if you guys noticed that, but to me, it's a second. Right. It's no longevity in it. You know what I'm saying? Like No Bammer Weed. You can play that 100 years from now, and people will feel that. You know what I'm saying?
How you say 30 years? 30 years is longevity. A lot of music people come in, they only looking for that one hit, and they're not thinking about years or longevity. So when Chris was making that and was coming up with that, that's something that's going to be played forever and ever. And that's what you got to teach a lot of these artists. Stop trying to be like Mike Tyson, knock you out in the first round, but have that stamina, have longevity. Because you look back, you ain't going to see a lot of people with a career for 30, 35 years. That's a blessing from God by itself. Just to have longevity of 30 years and still getting paid, still do show, that's timeless.
And you're absolutely right. And that's what I tell a lot of young artists. We have a program called Amari Entertainment. And we, you know, get the kids in the studio after 8 to 28 weeks and stuff like that. And we, you know, have them do a full-length clean CD. And they go out in the community. We give them, we press up 500 units for them. They go out in the community and they sell it and they keep all the money. I teach them how to own their publishing rights, how to own their copyrights, you know, and things like that, what a mechanical royalty is. Right. Because back in your day, I'm sorry. Yeah. Right, that's what I was going to say.
That's how we fell out with our label, not knowing what mechanical royalties was. We knew about the royalties, but the mechanical part, we didn't know about all that, like the publishing part and all that, until we actually got a manager who educated us, you know what I mean? Right. We was just more worried about going in and trying to get that in the next advance for the album. And he was like, well, what about your royalties and your mechanics? We were like, what mechanicals? And come to find out, he had owed us, you know, a boatload of money. So, and that's how we ended up falling out with the label, you know, Intermittent Records. But because we knew nothing about it, you know?
Right. And people will take advantage of you mm-hmm. if you don't know. And back in the day, they were taking advantage of a lot of artists because they didn't know. So our thing at our radio stations is that we're going to teach you the best we can how to get paid, how you need to get paid, and what you need to watch out for. Because once you leave us, I might not be around to help you negotiate something because somebody may see you or heard a song that they like of yours, and they now they want to throw you a boatload of money. Tell them to keep that money, get more points on the album, exactly. Get more points on your song. You know, it's things like that, and that's just real. Now, I wanted to ask you something also about, they say after 50 years, you guys get your masters back. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I don't know if it's 50, but yeah, after a certain amount of years, you do get your, but I already own all mine.
You own Bama Weed and all that now?
Oh my, yeah.
So when somebody want to use it, they got to go. They got to call you.
Like Wiz Khalifa use it, and we did have a problem because I did at the time. I didn't have the sample cleared. I thought Intermittent Records cleared it because that's what he withheld a lot of our royalties. He said, "I'm gonna put it in a trust fund, and we got to clear up all these samples because I went sample crazy sampling on that album. I had 3-4 samples in one song, so it was supposed to have been cleared up. And when I found out. When Wiz Khalifa used it, that it wasn't sampled, but the state, Marvin Gaye estate, they worked it out with us, and we was able to do the splits, and they was able to take 50% of the publishing, and I kept 50, and Wiz and them looked out for us. But yeah, I own all mine. You got to come get it clear through me.
What a lot of these young artists don't understand, that's a blessing. You know, that right there, to own your masters. You said, I own mine. I ain't giving you.
Second album, basically, through, because he was part of Jazzel, Jason Elliott Publishing, did own half of it, but they never paid us our royalties. They owed us, like, over 600 and some thousand on back royalties, so he just turned over the masters. Like, you know, I didn't want to fight because I definitely ain't finna cough up that paper. And he don't want to go to court. You know?
He done spent that already.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, we was taking him to court the whole nine. We was fighting. I was fighting for the masters for years. It took me a minute to get my second album, but I got all that back. And I never released all my other releases I did after that. I just never even signed no contracts. I just put it out myself. Just did it the Bayway, out the trunk.
And you know, and where I got that from is I heard it from Snoop. You know, when he bought Death Row, he was doing a lot of press junkets. Mm-hmm. For people who don't know what that is, you just do a lot of press. They just call it press junkets a lot of time. And he was saying, you know, they wouldn't sell him his masters. Right. They with the deal. He said, but that's okay. I forget what he said, 15, 20 years, they back to me anyway. Right. So I was like, wow. You know, so they just automatically come back. And that's what the interviewer asked him. He said, no, you got to do something behind the scenes, but they come back to you. Back. Mm-hmm. You know, so any advice before I let you guys go, because I know y'all want to enjoy the area and stuff like that. Any advice can you give young artists? I ask every artist this that's been in the game, did things and stuff. Being signed to a label and having that big machine behind you, or independent?
Me, I'm independent. But nowadays, to be honest, it both work. You know what I mean? Like, you can use it. I would probably, even if you're a new artist, just don't sign your life away. You know, I wouldn't mind signing for 2, maybe 3 albums max. Get that momentum and then go independent after that. You know, at least you could use a machine. You could get in the Clear Channels. You can get in the iHeartRadio. You can get on all the big platforms. You maybe can get on the big tours, do open up for bigger artists. But set yourself up for, you know, down the line when you get off that contract. You can go independent and capitalize off the momentum you got from the major. You know what I mean? Because independent, it's a lot of work. If you're willing to put in that work 24/7, getting on, creating your content, you know, not having no help, no publicists, you know, not having access to radio and all that. If you're willing to put in that grind and you love doing, like, I eat, sleep, drink music, so I love it. You know, I came in as an executive, you know, producer first. You know, rap was pretty much like secondary to me. You know what I mean? First, it was more like an executive, and then it was more like a producer doing beats, and then rap was like third to me. So some of them is just artists. If you're just an artist and you don't really want to put in the legwork, then probably go with the major if you got access to that, and just maybe, you know, do an album or two with them and use their resources, and then keep it independent after that. You know what I mean? So both of them work. You know what I mean? It just depends on where you at in your career. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is the little advice I give the kids that come through our programs and stuff. I tell them, don't let your managers, don't let your record labels have relationships with the radio stations, with the video stations, with just everybody. You get their number too.
Of course, yeah.
Because if something happened, let's say me and you were, I'm your manager, I got all the contacts, you ain't got nothing.
Your Rolodex is empty.
Yours is empty, right?
Yeah, right.
Am I right?
Yeah, right.
So,
Rolodex, you very powerful.
Right.
You got to be on top of your own business personally, too. Like I learned from him, too. You got to be on top of your own business first, off top first. Can't be depending on other people having that control. And you got to know your business. Like how Chris was saying about the masters and the royalty. A lot of people in this game, they just think it's just rapping. They see finishing product. They don't see all the stuff going to it. And they don't know their business. Business, learn the business. Not just a mic and this, learn the business. And that's what I watch him do and grow with him over all these years, is the business. Once you know that, you're going to be in a position to eat and be successful as you want to be.
And I told, I was listening to something on TikTok. My daughter got me on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I heard Shaquille O'Neal say his first NBA check was $20 million, right? Mm-hmm. He said, so he going to the store and buying Rolls Royces, bought him a house. Everything else, he said, but when he got the check, it was $10,900,000.
Yeah.
Exactly. You wouldn't think out of $20 million they take almost half of that. That was almost half of what he signed for. So everybody thinking he got $20 million. He only got 10.9 million.
Yeah, you got to be on your taxes, man. I learned that the hard way, too. I had levies on my accounts and everything because everything was coming in. The little checks I did get from In a Minute and from doing shows, you know, getting the W-9s and all that, everything was coming in my name, and I used to have to pay Mr. C and the other executive producer, Ed. And, all that was just piling up. When I figured out when I was trying to go buy a house, I had so much back taxes, and I opened up. I had my accounts I had opened up and was never paying taxes. I was just going depositing checks, and they locked my account, my daughter account down, and repoed all that money I had up in there. And it was like, yeah, that's going to go to your back taxes now. You still owe us another $15,000, and we'll let you do installments for that right there. You know what I mean? And I did it. I ended up doing it because I was like, I had to. Yeah, they levied all my accounts, man. They was zero in them accounts. They took all that money. But, yeah, I ended up bouncing back, and I learned about them taxes ASAP. You know, Uncle Sam ain't playing, so you got to make sure the unk is in the equation, you know.
No, and I tell people, right, because I tell people, I say, you know, the United States government going to get them taxes. I don't care how you look at it, what you say, what you do, or none of that. Mm-hmm. They going to get their money right off the button.
Especially when you're opening up accounts and you start owning property and all that. Now, if you just kind of living in the hood somewhere and you're probably living with your baby mama and you just cashing them checks under the table, you doing. I know a lot of dudes who was rapping and ain't paid no taxes. They was doing their thing because they ain't bought no property. They ain't got no bank account. They try to deal with cash on, you know. So they were doing it for years. But as soon as you get that property and you start, you know, claiming, you start getting accounts and you start dropping them big old checks up in there, yeah, they coming through like, okay, now where my issue, you know, for sure.
So make sure you pay Uncle Sam.
Got to, man. I do that first. That's off top. Every year I meet up with my accountant right before that 15th of April. You know, I go way before.
And he know the date.
February, yeah. Before that deadline.
And he know the date.
We ain't doing no extensions or none of that. We getting that out the way ASAP. You know what I mean?
Yeah, brother. Thank you, man. This has been fun. Really, it has been. Sure. And it's been educational. And I hope you children, you kids that's out there listening to it, aspire to be rappers, aspire to be singers, actors, ball players, wow, everything. Remember what RBL Posse, what advice they gave you. You know what I'm saying? Because if you don't, you can find yourself in a load of mess. And they always say, if you fall, get back up, learn your lesson, mm-hmm, and teach. And that's what you just did.
Right.
And I appreciate that, and I thank you for that, because a lot of artists, they want people to just see the glam and the glitz. Mm-hmm. They don't want to tell them there's a dark side to this, too.
Definitely.
And that when you're out there, you know, doing what you're doing and stuff like that, you have to make sure you take care of your business.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I teach the kids. Your business come first. This talent, you rapping, you doing your shows, yes, that's important. But your business is more important than anything in the world. So thank y'all. I appreciate y'all. How can people find y'all?
On IG, well, across all platforms, at RBO Posse on Twitter, IG, Facebook, at RBO Posse, YouTube or/ RBO Posse. It's RBO Posse across the board.
All right. Well, thank y'all once again. Appreciate y'all. Y'all did a heck of a show. Can't wait to see y'all again. We're going to get back to more music on 103.7 The Beat.